Father, we thank you for creating each of us
in your image and likeness and giving us the gifts and talents to serve you and to be the saints you intend us to be. Amen. Okay, I have been waiting all week to ask you this question. I have been chomping at the bit. You ready? Who inspires you? And if you're having trouble thinking about who inspires you, what inspires you? So, let's go with what first. What inspires you? You know, certainly the efforts of the choir this morning. A beautiful sunrise. Fabulous music. Witnessing an act of kindness. These are all things that can inspire us. But who inspires you? Who inspires you? If you're struggling with that, who do you inspire? Who's inspired by you? Now, inspiration is a tricky thing because I think we use the word and don't always think about it. It's so easy to say, oh, that I am so inspired. Oh, that's just, So, on 9/11, when the terrorists hit the World Trade Center, the field in Pennsylvania, and the Pentagon, we as Americans were inspired. Our patriotism rose up to heights never seen before, even would have impressed Mr. Trump, and we were inspired. I remember people driving around with flags. Remember all the flags in everybody's car? You know, people were inspired. On the flip side of that, the terrorists that ran those planes into those buildings were equally as inspired, weren't they? But we don't think about that. But they were inspired by their hatred. They were inspired by their desire to make things really bad for Americans and for the rest of the world. So, inspiration is an interesting thing. Every year since 1927, Time magazine, towards the end of the year, and we're coming up on it now, will put on an issue, Person of the Year. They've been doing it every year since 1927. Every president except one has made it to that issue. Roger, remember, do you know who it is? The one president that did not get on there? No, not Herbert Hoover. Now I forgot. Who was it? I told you this. Well, that's what they said in the article. Anyway, one president didn't make it. But Coolidge. It was Coolidge. That's who it was. Why am I here? Who am I? Anyway. There you go. Person of the Year. Right there. But it's not just people that go there. And it's, you know, the intent is people who inspire us, people who create conversation, because it ranges the gamut from presidents to popes to American women. 1988, the environment. So we were thinking about that in some circles long before today. The American soldier. Do you even remember who it was last year? Anybody? The healthcare workers on the forefront of fighting Ebola. How quickly we forget. Do you know who it is this year? Nobody yet, because we don't know. But I think what's interesting is what I'd really like to see are the list of people that they're considering that don't make it. 1930s were an interesting time. Joseph Stalin made the list twice. Adolf Hitler made the list. These are all people who have created a discussion, all people that have changed the world, events that have changed the world one way or the other. whether we agree, whether we don't agree, whether we're inspired one way or whether we're inspired another way. Today, we celebrate the lives of the saints. It's All Saints Day. And traditionally, you know, if you ask definition of a saint, someone will say godlike and holy. Well, I don't, you know, the godlike thing I have a problem with, because when I think about me being godlike, I think that it's way above my pay grade. I don't know that I can be godlike. Holy, I guess I have my moments. But the point is this. When we think about who inspires us, what inspires us, certainly all of the people in the lives of the saints and in holy men and holy women are all there for a reason. Most of us in this room will not make it there. But my point is that we are all saints. What gets in the way? There's an old saying that every sinner has a future and every saint has a past. And I kind of believe that. Richard Rohr says that we meet God not by what we do right, but we meet God through our mistakes. So in that moment of every sinner has a past and every saint has a future, where those things sort of come together, we get to make a decision about how we're going to use our gifts and our talents to make a difference, to inspire others, to be the saints that God expects us to be. You know, we say the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." Who do you think is the one on earth that's supposed to be doing this? It's us. Now, most of us aren't going to be, you know, in the farm, eaten by lions. We're not going to become martyrs or anything else. But our acts of faith, the things that we do, if we use our talents and our abilities, will help us. Earlier this week, there was a piece in the New York Times by David Brooks, and it was about a group of young artists who were actually singing for Lady Gaga. But the point was, all of these people were driven by passion to do what it is that they wanted to do, to use their gifts and their talents, to understand their vulnerabilities. You know, we learn from, you know, being vulnerable is a good thing because we can learn from our mistakes. God's not interested in our perfection. God is interested in our vulnerability. And two questions came out of this article by David Brooks. One, what would you do if you weren't afraid? What would you do if you weren't afraid? Let's add to that. Who would you be? Who would you be if you weren't afraid? Tough questions. Tough questions. I've spent a lot of time this week thinking about this. Who would you be if you weren't afraid? What would you do if you weren't afraid? Well, I think the answer to that is anything. I think the answer to that is a saint. But I'd have to be willing to be vulnerable. I'd have to be willing to look at my faults and to learn from them. But most importantly, and I think the things that the saints have in common besides their passion, is trust. Their willingness to be that vulnerable that you can trust God. That God will be there to support us in using the talents and the gifts that he gave us. He didn't do it for no reason at all. He expects us to use them. So, I was having a conversation recently with a mentor of mine talking about all of these things. And I raised the question about how do I know if I'm vulnerable enough to totally let go and trust God? How do I know that? The answer that I got gave me great pause. The answer that I got really changed how I look at things. The answer that I got was simply this. He looked at me and said, "Are you willing to get naked with God?" Amen.